From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Gonghatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. If President Donald Trump represents racist, homophobic, white male patriarchy, then my next guest, Hari Kondabolu, is quite the opposite. He is an Indian American stand-up comic, actor, filmmaker, and podcast host who uses deadpan humor to raise critical questions around race, LGBT issues, and other political stories. He was a writer for Totally Biased with W. Kamau Bell and has appeared on The Late Show with David Letterman, Conan, PBS NewsHour, and more. He's released two comedy albums, Waiting for 2042 and Mainstream American Comic, with the legendary indie rock label Kill Rock Stars. He's the co-host of the Kondabolu Brothers podcast, and his new documentary, The Problem with Apu, is now available at online streaming outlets. And for our local audience, he'll be performing in Los Angeles at the Wilshire Ebell Theater on April 7th at 8 p.m. Welcome to the show, Hari Kondabolu.
Thanks for having me.
You see what I did there? Created your persona in complete opposition to that of President Donald Trump. So
yeah,
that's what you're carrying now on your shoulders.
Thank you. Thank you. I had gotten sick of all those Donald Trump comparisons, so I'm glad we clarified.
Right. Well, if you were a woman, it would have been even more so.
Oh,
but
yes.
So first of all, you're coming to Los Angeles, which is exciting. Our local audience, where we're based in Los Angeles, will get the chance to see you. And we'll post a link to your website where people can see all of your speaking events. But how interesting a time is it for you as a comedian who takes on and has taken on issues of race and racism since well before Trump was president? Has this been an interesting past year for you? Has your comedy been more enthusiastically received than before?
Yeah, I think there's a lot more people that go to comedy, not just because they need a night out, but because they want someone to respond to what's happening in the world and the absurdity of it, or attempt to make sense of it, or at least attempt to make sense of it while making them laugh. And I feel like people in the past, like I've definitely gone to cities around the country where I feel that there is some hesitation about being too political, you shouldn't talk about that. I think now there are more people who want to hear it because it's really unavoidable, right? I mean, I feel like Trump is so outrageous that even someone who didn't watch the news closely before, listen to it closely before, is aware of what's going on. You know, like the big scandals are pretty notable and they're constant.
It strikes me that he's the kind of person who, if he fears anything, it's being laughed at.
Yeah. Yeah. he's not somebody, you know, from our impressions, that he doesn't like to admit fault, even if he's clearly wrong. He doesn't take information from experts. You know, he doesn't want to be made fun of or seen as less than. He wants to be seen as the ideal version of the president, of a man, a business person. He's the top of the top. And so the idea of making fun of him in any way, that's way out of what he wants to do. It's way out of place.
Now, of course, Trump didn't invent white supremacy. And this is, of course, quite critical for us to understand. You made your documentary, The Problem with Apu, about a TV show that used a racist stereotype years ago. And this is an issue that the country has always grappled with. Is it a little bit easier now to talk about racism, even as we struggle with more racist attacks than ever before?
I mean, in some ways, you know, I think that when you see hate groups marching openly, it forces the issue. But you're still talking about things like institutional racism and, voting rights issues and a history of a war against the poor, which, you know, is not a Republican or a Democrat thing. That's been going on for many, many years. So the stuff that's on the surface, you can see and you have to address it. But the worst stuff is below the surface. It's with legislation. It's with policies. It's with enforcement. That's different. That's not as easy to share and talk about.
Now, where did the idea for your documentary, The Problem with Apu, come from? Have you always hated the show, hated the stereotype, or did something spark it?
I mean, I've always loved the show, and I think that's the complicated thing, the idea that you can love something that still manages to disappoint you. I feel like I'm sounding like my mom right now. But I do think it's something that certainly was very present in my life. It was unavoidable to grow up in a place where you think you're American, you feel American. I grew up in Queens, New York. Everyone looked different. And yet you watch media and you're not represented. You don't exist as far as mainstream popular culture goes. And then all of a sudden you're represented and your parents are represented with a cartoon character that is a caricature, right? That's full of stereotypes. And there's nothing to offset that. There's no balance. There's no, other character that gives a truer, more honest version of our experiences. And that's all we had, and that's what we were called, and there was nothing we could do about it. So I think that's something that a lot of us who grew up here, especially in the 80s and 90s, had to deal with. And it's interesting, you know, doing this film now and putting it out now, because for me personally, it really hasn't been a thing I've thought about all that much for over a decade, but it feels like there are old stories we weren't allowed to tell before that now we're allowed to tell. So it's almost like you're playing catch up. Now we have to fill in the gaps that, you know, weren't addressed before.
Right. And today we do have a greater variety of representation. You know, we have many more South Asian figures on television and in film than we ever did. Mindy Kaling was just in this massive Disney film, The Wrinkle in Time, A Wrinkle in Time, and she has her own show. And you've got many, many other South Asian characters. You've got, you know, Priyanka Chopra, that are not just the stereotypical characters. In fact, mostly they aren't stereotypical. Mostly they are these nuanced, complex characters. Are we entering a heyday for South Asian representation in popular culture?
I mean, I hope so. But, you know, the thing is, like last year, for example, we talked about this great year for South Asian American representation, but it was mostly South Asian American men. And there was a straight, you know, cis men. You know, there are so many different stories in all our communities that don't get told. And so until we have those breakthroughs, you know, we're still, this is a more accessible accomplishment. You know, I'm still, you know, a straight cis man. You know, that's still, the race thing is maybe there's some progress, but there's still a lot more. And I think we need to acknowledge that. And we have to work to create media that is, you know, not only more inclusive, but is also controlled by the people who the stories are about. You know, I want to be telling my story, and I would like to see, you know, a brown trans person tell their story, and I would like to see immigrants tell their story, and not through other people. I want them to be given an opportunity, and I think we're closer to that because there's so much more media. There's so much more space to fill, and there's so much more competition.
Right. Interestingly enough, Pakistan recently had its first transgender newscaster, which is pretty incredible. That made news internationally. Well, I want to play for our audience a clip from your film, The Problem with Apu. This is the film by my guest, Hari Kondabolu.
The problem is we didn't have any other representation in this country.
There was no Aziz, no Mindy, no Cal, no that dude who was on Lost, and that other dude from Heroes, and that dude that's in the Apu documentary. No politicians or reporters, and no whatever Deepak Chopra is. This is all we had. Apu reflected how America viewed us. Servile, devious, goofy.
And that creates a problem when the most popular show on television, which it was, is showing mainstream America what an Indian is.
Right.
And it's a pot-bellied dude who can't speak English, has zero, is an idiot, basically.
So where did this walking stereotype come from? I mean, other than the gates of hell.
You've been watching a clip from The Problem with Apu by my guest Hari Kondabolu. And the film is, it's been out in theaters now. You can watch it on streaming services all over. And Hari Kondabolu will be in Los Angeles, by the way, at the Wilshire Ebell Theater on April 7th at 8 p.m. Well, Hari, one of the things that I think about when I think about the lack of South Asian representation is that we as a group, as an ethnic minority in the United States, occupy this interesting space where we don't have that historical story of oppression that African Americans do, or Native Americans do, or even to some extent Latinos in the United States do, who might have, you know, who might be undocumented or have who have that immigrant background that involves being in the country without papers. Many South Asians came to the country with papers, although of course there are still many undocumented South Asians, and have educational privilege to some degree, some class privilege, and we've been that model minority, yet we've been deeply stereotyped in popular culture, right?
Yeah, and I think what's important there is, one, you know, I don't think stereotyping helps anybody, and it's still about access to have your own voice. But I think it's also important to remember, you know, our role. I mean, I will say specifically for Indian Americans, even though our path was different, and even though I think relatively, you know, just based on averages, the community is doing very well, we have to remember our role in a racist system, right? Because the idea of being a model minority is us being pit against other groups, being pit against Black people. You know, it's like the Vijay Prashad book, The Karma of Brown Folk, you know, addresses W.E.B. Du Bois's question in the souls of Black folk, where he talks about how Black people are seen as the problem in America. Well, Prashad says, and Asians and South Asians are seen as the solution to the Black problem. So we have to be aware of not only how complex our identities are, but how we get used by a racist system.
So we want to be more like Vijay Prashad and less like Dinesh D'Souza.
The classic dichotomy, yes, absolutely. That's a historic struggle. And that's absolutely right. You have to be more like Prashad.
Right. So when you tackle these issues, race is not something that stands alone. And in just our conversation, you've brought up so many other issues, which I think is fantastic. We need to see the intersectionality with race, with class, with gender, with sexuality. But how do you do that and be funny at the same time? That's not easy.
I mean, it's hard to, if it's like you're funny, you're funny. Do you know what I mean? I feel right. Like, if you're a funny person, you find ways to cope with pain and frustration. And if you're someone who's, you know, very empathetic and follows what's happening in the world, you know, it becomes painful. You know, reading about colonialism is painful to me. Reading about poverty is painful to me. It's not an abstract idea. I take it personally. And so I have to find a way to turn that outrage and that sadness into something productive. And I think that is the job of any artist, and with a comedian, it's to find a way to make it funny. So there's something instinctually I have to look for humor. Now, am I always successful? Absolutely not. But I feel like I know how to at least attempt to make things that are really hard into something that could be funny. And at the same time, you know, I'm trying to make the complex simple, but without losing all its complexity. And that's also a really hard balance.
I want to spend the last few minutes of our conversation asking you about your own sort of personal struggles to getting where you've gotten with the sort of baggage that we as people of color have, you know, with a hard to pronounce name. I'm part of that club with a non-white person in an industry where you are even more so the minority than you are in the population. I mean, I myself and people like myself, we find that we have to basically hustle our way into the in crowd to get recognized. You're not just a comedian, you're a writer, you're a filmmaker, you're hosting a podcast, you're doing shows, you've released comedy albums. And while someone might imagine that that comes easily, I can only imagine how hard that has been for you.
Yeah, I think there's a great deal of creativity that is necessary, not only in terms of your art form, but in terms of how are you going to be successful in a system that wasn't set up for you, regardless of what the system is. And for me, it's entertainment. The one big advantage I have is stand-up comedy is something that doesn't depend on someone else's script. I can go up whenever I want and say whatever I want. I can build my own audience. I can prove to be financially viable, which ultimately is what this is about, right? When a TV network or a company decides to invest in a performer, they're not investing in them for the sake of diversity. They're not investing in them because this is a story that needs to be told. They're investing in them because this story, this person, will ultimately make them money. And when you're a stand-up, you can prove that by the numbers. Who's showing up at the shows? How many? How much are they paying? You know, you prove those numbers, they can't question you.
Right. I mean, so the Black Panther proved that films with diverse casts and an all-Black cast, almost all-Black cast, can be a massive money maker. Those are the kinds of hard facts that you can wave in people's faces.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And also, you know, that didn't come isolated. You know, there was other things that came before it that set the stage, whether it was Blade or, you know, any number of things that came before the Black Panther that started to tell you there's something going on here. Also, it wasn't like all the actors that were in Black Panther weren't independently successful already. You know, like Michael B. Jordan, it was already successful. Lakeith Stanfield was on, was in Get Out. You know, you have all these actors that also, from their individual success, were able to create something which is a larger group success.
Well, I wish you personal and group success, Hari. Thank you so much for joining us. And we'll see you in Los Angeles at your upcoming event. And people can get information about that April 7th event happening at the Wiltshire Ebell Theater on our website, risingupwithsonali.com. But you can also find out more about Hari's own work, all the work he's done, his upcoming events. He might be coming to a city near you, such as Raleigh, North Carolina, where he'll be Tuesday at harikondabolu.com. Hari, thanks so much.
Thank you, Sonali. I appreciate it.
My guest again has been Hari Kondabolu, a comedian, writer, filmmaker, and podcast host. His new documentary, The Problem with Apu, is now available at online streaming outlets. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter and also find out more about us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.